coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. Your host, Steve Pintado. And on today's episode, guys, we're talking running backs. We're going to be talking about the top 24 or so running backs in this episode today. We got a couple cool guests jumping on for this episode. So let's get started here. So let me introduce our co-host, as always, Coach Jibs. What's up, Jibs? What's going on, man?
I'm doing good, man. Just chilling. It's getting closer and closer to draft season. Start getting them texts about when the league's starting, when we're drafting, get the lottery flowing. Oh, man, I smell in the air. Football's back, baby.
That is true, man. I'm in I'm just doing so many drafts right now. All the charity leagues are going on right now, trying to get those finished up. Like I said, I know you and me are a bunch of redraft leagues. We're hitting up our teammates about and how crazy it is. So like I said, redraft seasonal is getting into high gear, so we're getting back into more of that redraft season like we have over the last couple of weeks here now. And we're talking some running backs today. We'll be going over the RB1s, RB2s going to this season here. And our first guest, I'd like to introduce Kyle, the Fantasy Reserve. Kyle, what's going on, buddy?
Hey guys, thanks for having me. Pretty much echoing what you guys are saying, man. I got my home league and I commissioned that one, and those guys don't really pay attention to football except when it's football season. So when they start messaging me, you know it's getting close.
That is true. Yeah, we have friends that are just like that, honestly. Not a peep until August comes around, and then boom, we're talking almost every single day once again. So before we get started on everything, you know, let everyone know they can find you out on social media and, you know, what you kind of do in the industry.
Yeah, you guys can follow me at Fantasy Reserve. I'm part of a new up-and-coming group. There's a lot of them out here, but we're part of the Gridiron Ratings. We're doing some pretty progressive things. We're relatively new. We got some Dynasty stuff coming out, DFS, and our biggest thing is Gary Van Dyke, the IDP tipster, does a lot of stuff with IDP, something that we're pushing for, and I think the industry is pushing for as well. You know, you want the full experience, and so you can follow those guys at the Gridiron Ratings, and all of their handles are on that page.
Awesome, awesome. So, guys, if you're not already, please give them a follow because they're great over there. So we got a lot to go over today, guys. We actually have some news, you know, actually hit me with news finally, things that we haven't talked about since last Thursday. And that starts the show off with Michael Thomas, who we got late last week saying, you know, had ankle surgery and is likely to miss the start of the season. Whether or not that's 1, 2, 6, 8 weeks, we don't really know. He's right now on the pump currently right now. So that could mean if he stays on it, he's out for 6 weeks at least, which would put him into week 7 being out for, because they have a bye week in the first 6 weeks. So that's a big blow, especially when we're talking about Jameis Winston last week and about Michael Thomas. I think at some point during the offseason being a value right now in terms of fantasy. But Kyle, I'll let you kind of go first. You know, what does this do for you for Michael Thomas? Is he not worth drafting in your eyes at this point?
Yeah, he's pretty much on my non-draft list because I think there's going to be people in your league that are going to be tempted to take him in the 8th, 9th round. And if, like I said, if I knew he was coming back after 4 or 5 weeks, I would definitely be considering him. At this point, I'm probably not considering him in the 10th or 11th round. You're going to be sitting on him for about 6 to 8 weeks. You hope he comes back. And then, as we've seen, as some of the Twitter doctors have talked about, you know, it takes 2 or 3 weeks to really get going after this kind of injury. So you could be talking fantasy playoffs, and if you don't have an IR spot available in your redraft leagues, you could be holding dead weight and you're going to miss out on a lot of waiver wire opportunities.
Yeah, that's for sure. You got to have that IR spot, guys. It's so important now in fantasy with all the injuries piling up here. But Jibs, you know, besides Michael Thomas, does this affect anyone overall that he's possibly going to be missing this time?
Oh, yeah, of course. You get, like, looked into guys like Traquan Smith to actually be a productive asset for the Saints. Also, you get look into guys like Marquez Callaway, who was pretty good last year with Drew Brees, albeit. But, like, those two guys probably get a boost. You know, Adam Trautman's the Tyler tight end like sleeper for everyone this year. I think he definitely will be more sustainable in my opinion. So those guys get a bump, of course. And Alvin Kamara probably will be more consistent because you figure like he'll lose a drop off of targets with Drew Brees, but maybe with the lack of receivers in the game, he'll be utilized more.
Yeah, no, those are definitely great options. If they're out there right now, especially in your dynasty leagues, definitely should be probably like Callaway and Harris probably more than likely will be out there. But any one of these guys now definitely has that boost. Oh, Harris,
2-game suspension too, by the way.
Oh, Harris is, it's not confirmed yet. He's supposed to be having a 2-game suspension. But Callaway, Chris Hogan, that's now there, you know, just signed there as well. Could maybe see value now in fantasy. But I think in reality, it hurts guys. It hurts the quarterback situation right now. Taysom Hill, it hurts Jameis Winston. You know, these guys were kind of like sleepers. Well, they could end up playing a really good season. I don't want them now. I really don't want to draft either one of them. It also concerns me that maybe they switch to Taysom Hill and use that run first approach, using him as their main weapon instead of throwing the ball, because they don't really have that alpha wide receiver. Now that could change if they trade for somebody, but right now, outside of Alvin Kamara and now I guess Adam Trautman for sure now, I really don't want too many of these Saints players, because we just don't know the big impact of how Michael Thomas off the field was, because you saw last year, the wide receiver core wasn't that great week in and week out. It was all Alvin Kamara all the way all season long. So it's a big blow, but hopefully he comes back and healthy, and hopefully it is not the 6 games we're all expecting him to miss this season. So going to our next big topic here, Dak Prescott, and I put 3 T's at the end of Prescott. there's possibility that he misses a few weeks now in terms of his overall, I think, training camp right now. I think Mike McCarthy says it was a bone bruise in his shoulder. Now, hearing this information, him already coming off another injury, does this scare you for this Cowboys team as a whole right now? I mean, people are loving CeeDee Lamb and all the catches he's making. Mark Cooper's a value. Gallup's a value. Blake Jarwin or late-round tight ends that people like. Does this concern you about wanting to grab these guys now because of the Dak injury?
No, not at all, man. It's pretty early. Okay. They're pretty adamant that he's going to be playing the Hall of Fame game, so I think they'll give him a nice drive, hopefully, too, and we'll take it from there. But I'm still on Dak. That offense ain't going anywhere. The offense didn't change. He's getting healthy, so...
The health is the main concern for me. I'm going to keep my eyes on it. If you are like me, I'm going to keep my eyes on it, because if he doesn't play in the Hall of Fame game, that could be then something that you have to take into consideration. I know it's just the Hall of Fame game, whatever. But again, injuries are injuries, and you don't want to see an injury to your quarterback shoulder after he's already coming off a leg injury, personally. So yeah. Just wanted to throw that out there. And then last but not least, the drama-filled child in Aaron Rodgers, all offseason long, crying like a baby, not wanting to be back in Green Bay, finally decides he's back in Green Bay. But there's a catch. He's got say in his contract that he's going to sign up, assume at this point, over the next 2 seasons, whether or not he's going to stay in Green Bay. And he's like, hey, you know what? For the hell of it, throw in Randall Cobb, bring him back to Green Bay. And that's what the Packers did in they traded for Randall Cobb. So all good with the Packers offense right now. You're liking them again now. These guys are back on the top of the list.
Randall
Cobb gets some relevance now in fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to say, like, yo, give me Randall Cobb and we're going to, like, run the Lazard and Valdez-Scantlin, like, still at the same rate. Like, I think he's going to get more pull on that offense. I think it's Aaron Rodgers' show personally, and he'll do whatever he wants. But still, it's going to run through Adams.
Yeah, if you watched that whole press conference, I think the Randall Cobb signing is more of just like, look, like, you – cut Kumaro last year, a guy that I really liked and guy that I valued a lot on this offense, because you're talking about Lazard and MVS obviously haven't stepped up. So he's like, hey, I want Randall Cobb. I need someone I can trust as a number two on this offense. And so that's, I'm sure Cobb will have 3 or 4 fantasy relevant games, but I think it's just Adams and Jones, and see if Tanyan can catch more touchdowns this year.
Yeah. The whole offense is, hey, I agree with you guys. The whole offense is back. I mean, Robert Tonyan, actually, I think, was a slow value down this upcoming season. I think he was, like, tight end 18 on ADP. So, I mean, if you had drafted him in your, like, best ball drafts, you're sitting pretty right now, because I've been doing that in my last couple charity best balls. So, he should have a good value again. Randall Cobb, again, I think at best he finishes as a low-end wide receiver 3. but that's really it. It's Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, and Aaron Rodgers. So those are the guys you want on your team this coming season. So speaking of running backs, we kind of just mentioned there. Let's get into our big topic today, guys. We have other news. I forgot there's other news. We're not going to talk about it, but I'm going to mention it, though, because I forgot. Obviously, after the Bears traded, Randall Cobb away, Anthony Miller got traded there as well to the Bears. Sean Watson did report the camp, so that's not anything really news. He just doesn't want to get fined, per he says. Jesse James, the tight end, signs a one-year deal with the Bears. We talked about Chris Hogan, Darrell Henderson, and Joe Burrow are players likely not to play in this preseason. And, of course, the COVID hits us a lot. You know, Gus Edwards, Lamar Jackson, you know, Justin Jackson, Tutu Atwell all kind of hit the COVID list. Again, if you're playing in any league that has IR spots, you should definitely have your COVIDs on still, because I think that's going to be affecting us all season long, and have things set up in case games are going to get canceled, because I think we're going to fall in similar situations. They're not getting canceled. They're going to get canceled to some extent. Will we reschedule?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I meant. Like, so keep that in mind this season. Like, COVID's not gone, guys. It's still here. And it's going to keep affecting these football games. So keep on having those same protocols you had last year. Son, that's really it. So right now, so far. So now we can get into our running back topic of the day. And we're basically just going over the top 24 running backs right now in terms of ADP among fantasy pros currently right now. And we're going to start with the elites. And that's the CMCs, the Dalvin Cooks, the Derrick Henrys, the Alvin Kamaras of the world right now. So before we talk about these guys, is there anyone else that should be in this list that's not mentioned right here in the elite four?
Zeke.
I wouldn't put Barkley in there personally at the moment. And we can talk about him in a few minutes. But I would maybe consider Jonathan Taylor. I'm getting higher on him than consensus. I think he's like running back six, but I would definitely kind of put him in front of Barkley at the moment, and would even consider, I'd be 50-50 with him and Kamara. I'm getting a lot higher on him just because I believe in the talent, and the situation in New Orleans scares me a little bit.
I respect it. So if anyone wasn't going to be in there, it'd probably be Alvin Kamara right now.
Yeah, I think he actually runs out for me as my running back five. I actually, for my personal rankings, have Taylor at four, and that feels a little high, but with the Michael Thomas injury, I think Alvin Kamara just becomes such a focus of this offense, and he's going to be that for the defenses as well. And so it's going to matter if it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. I just don't see how the efficiency, when you look at like the Kamara stats, even if it is Taysom Hill, you look at like the four game sample side he had, he was like running back 15 in points per game within those four games with Taysom Hill when Drew Brees was out last year. And so it's really going to come down to targets, because I think he can still get the touchdowns that he's been getting, but I don't know if the targets are going to be there necessarily.
And that's a really great point there. And I guess we'll stick with Alvin Kamara here first to start off. So if Taysom Hill happens to win the starting job right now, and it's not Jameis Winston, does Kamara fall out of this top five range right now in terms of the draft this year? Is he more of a low end round one player at that point, with a guy like Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback?
Okay. I mean, for me, yeah. I mean, I think he falls to like that mid round, like six or seven. I have the stats right here. Like in those 4 weeks that he had six targets in the first three games that Taysom Hill played. Now he overcorrected in that last game and had 10 targets, I believe, in that fourth game that Taysom Hill took over. And you're going to get those sort of variables, but I'm willing to believe that the 3 or 4 game sample size is he's going to get about 4-ish targets a game, which is going to be under his career average. He's going to get a little more touches on the ground, but how efficient are they going to be when the teams can actually stack the box now? And so if I was the Saints, I would actually be using Kamara a lot more in the passing game, put Latavius Murray out in the backfield a little more, put Kamara on the slot, utilize him the way you can. I just don't know if I actually trust the team to do that, because I think Kamara is just that much better than Murray at this point. I don't know if they can afford to leave him in the backfield with Hill.
And I think they can't, because the situation is right now, is like they're in a win mode situation right now. They're still trying to win the Super Bowl right now. No Drew Brees yet, no problem. I mean, there's a problem, but they're looking for a win the Super Bowl. You have to use your best player, because your second best player is now out for multiple weeks. Alvin Kamara has to be used more in that passing game. They have to find ways to get him more involved. I mean, I think if anything, there's an opportunity for him to break his reception record this coming season here, having somewhat of a like Christian McCaffrey 2 years ago kind of situation, where he gets over close to 100 targets, 100 receptions close in a single season, because there's no one else. They have to find ways to get their best player involved. And whether it's not through running the ball, they have to get short passes out there to get him the ball. And I think he stays here, whether or not, I think, honestly, if Hill or Winston is there, because he's just going to be so involved in this offense because he's literally the only player. He's the only one left right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see Alvin Kamara right now. I think he's a safe option.
Yeah, I think he just drops two spots for me. Like, I think I'll have him six, but I'll definitely take Taylor and Zeke over him. Yeah. And maybe feeling on the day of the week, hey, maybe Nick Chubb's in that consideration, but we'll see how that happens.
We'll probably talk about Nick Chubb in a little bit for sure. But again, I think the rest of these group here, this elite RB1 tier, I think they're all considered safe options at this point. Or do you guys have concerns with anyone else? Maybe Dalvin Cook and his injury history. Do you have issues with Derrick Henry and his workload over the last couple seasons now?
Only thing I say about Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry is they have coaching changes this year. Rick Dennison was fired because he would not get the COVID vaccination, which is a requirement for coaches in the NFL right now. And so Gary Kubiak is no longer there. Clint Kubiak, who runs the same offensive system, is going to go into a year by himself running this offense without his running game coordinator, who was Rick Dennison. So I think Cook is too talented to not overcome this situation, but it might be something to watch that if the running game struggles in the early season, I don't think you should overreact. I think it's just going to take maybe a couple weeks. I haven't looked at their opening schedule, but I think it may just take a couple weeks for that running game to truly start getting back to what we saw last year, where he was the running back two over or running back three overall and running back one in points per game. But just something to watch.
No, no, that's a really great point there. Jibs, do you have anything else you want to mention?
No, the only guy that would scare me would be probably Kamara if the situation doesn't really pan out. But like, I'm okay with Cook and Henry. Like, they both showed me what they could do. They're uber efficient running backs that get tremendous. They both had over 300 carries, and you kind of want that volume back. And running backs get hurt. It is what it is. So you got to try to get the best ones. So
that's unfortunately true. Someone's going to get hurt in this round one value here. That's just going to happen, guys. You just hopefully it's not you when you draft these players. So we're going to head over to our tier two of the RB1 running backs. And this group here kind of resolves around Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Zeke Elliott, Nick Chubb, Aaron Jones, and Austin Eckler here. So let's start with Saquon Barkley because he is on the pump currently right now. And there's still an opportunity for him to possibly miss games. It's not confirmed he's ready to go week one. There's no report saying that he's ready to go. They still don't know at this moment here. So does taking Saquon in the first round scare you right now? Because I know people have dropped him down. I've listened to some other podcasts. They've dropped him down into that early second round and not a first round pick here. Are you guys on board with Barkley this year, or you have your doubts?
I have a lot of doubts. Personally, and it's mostly because of when Joe Judge came out this week and he says, I'm not willing to risk long-term health for Saquon Barkley. I think that's smart because I think if everyone in the NFL is healthy, I think Barkley is probably the most talented running back. I think we can agree he's at least top three, top five. You can debate it however you want. But when you look at the ACL tear, he had an MCL strain. I think he had some meniscus problems. The year prior, he had an ankle sprain. So his legs have gotten beaten up. And if you look at the video of him in camp training, he lost a lot of muscle mass on that quad of that right leg. That if you look at that video, you still see his left leg is strong and solid, and that right leg has lost a little bit of muscle mass. So I think he's going to have a tough couple of weeks for him to try to get back. And I don't think this is the same Saquon Barkley we saw his rookie year. I mean, his targets dropped from 121 to 73 targets in two less games. He went from 16 to 14 games his sophomore year. But that's over two targets a game that he's losing. That I think you have to understand that it's just a different system when Eli Manning isn't the quarterback. So I'm personally taking Taylor, Elliott, and I'm considering Chubb and Jones as of right now. If he doesn't fully practice by 2 weeks of week one, I'm probably out on him as like a top six, seven running back. But late first, I'd still take him.
Okay. Jibs, how do you feel about Saquon Barkley?
I feel personally the same just because the Giants don't feel like they want to rush him back. Like, I know, like, listening to, like, sports radio talk around here, like, he does sound like very like happy and like eager and like he kind of like, it's not like he's like, oh man, like I don't know when I'm coming back, or like a sad sulking face. So like he seems optimistic, but like I still don't want to like hinge the fact that like this guy's probably going to get what like eased in. He's going to have like what, maybe 15 touches, like he could get it done maybe with that, but like it's still not your what you're drafting him to be as that first round running back. So I don't know, and if he gets hurt, like it's just kind of a drag on your season. So it's a no for me, Doug.
I think you guys both make really great points there, and I'm actually on the same page with you guys. I'm not going to disagree whatsoever. Yes, he's probably the one of the most talented running backs in the NFL, but injuries are injuries, and offense is offense still. I mean, you have to understand he's been injured the last two seasons now. And if he's not clear at this point, the beginning of August, basically at this point, there's some concerns right now on that overall. And he's a running back. He's going to be used. He's going to have to need his legs consistently throughout the season here. And the offense isn't the same. You don't have Eli Manning his rookie season dumping the ball off consistently. You have Daniel Jones now, who either he turns the ball over or throws a pretty decent deep ball. And that's what you're getting with this offense right now. I mean, if you go back and look, I think I pulled the stats up here real quick on that. If I could find it here, I don't know if I might have. Maybe I did. Oh, I did. There was just four games that Daniel Jones, they only played 13 games together. Four games that they played together that he had more than five targets in a game. So there's a situation where Daniel Jones isn't throwing checkdowns to Saquon Barkley as often. Again, it's a small sample size, but you bring in Kenny G, you have Darius Slayton, the guys who, to get downfield, you're going to use those players more often than not. You pay Kenny G a lot of money to come here. You're going to throw him the ball a lot as well. So seeing like what Saquon did his rookie year of 100 targets, it just doesn't make sense. And I think you're looking at that 60 to 65 range at best, because he's coming off injury and everything we've been hearing about trying to give him an easy workload as he works back into the offense right now. I think if you're thinking of him as a top five running back right now, you're going to be mistaken on how early on he struggles probably to see those elite fantasy numbers right now.
So if you live around here, let your Giants friend draft Saquon in the first round.
Don't I hope they him. Do. I can't wait. I can't wait. All right, let's see here. Who are we going to go to next here? Who haven't we talked a lot about? You know what? Aaron Jones. We're going to go to Aaron Jones next here.
Oh, yeah.
And we haven't really talked too much about Aaron Jones beside the fact of him re-signing this season here, though. But now that Aaron Rodgers is officially back now, guys, I mean, you guys, I think, mentioned that, you know, you have Aaron Jones above a guy like Saquon Barkley is possibly a top seven, top eight pick right now. In terms of you're drafting in the back half of draft, I think it's almost safe that you go get a guy like Aaron Jones and you're pretty happy with that. Do you guys disagree?
No, I don't disagree with that at all, man. Yeah. This guy, like, I wasn't a believer in him. And like, he has told me the last two seasons, like, he's finished the top five back. He was five last year, and he was at least 3-2 in the year before that. So, with Aaron Rodgers and him being on that Packers offense, even though there's a new situation with A.J. Dillon as a backup, I still think it's his role, it's his time to shine, and he probably get a little bit of receiving boost this year. So, the sky's the limit for Aaron Jones.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, too. I think he's been a little boom or bust the last couple years, especially with the insane amount of touchdowns he's been getting. But this past year, he had eight games over at least 15 points. And with Jamal Williams leaving, I mean, there's 35 vacated targets and 119 vacated rush attempts. And so when you talk about A.J. Dillon, who we do not view as a pass catcher, we think he's talented, but not a pass catcher. Hopefully Aaron Jones can go more into that role. I know how frustrating it's been as an Aaron Jones owner in some leagues, where you're like, why is Jamal Williams out there? Like, Aaron Jones is clearly the better running back. Like, why is Jamal Williams out here in the 2-minute drill? And I think this year we're finally going to see Aaron Jones getting that. And so even if he only gets about 200 carries, which I think he got 201 this year in 14 games, I think he can still stay around that mark. But he's had 68 and 63 targets. I think he can get closer to 80, start to see what we've seen from Austin Eckler or Alvin Kamara these last couple of years. And I think he's just going to have a lot safer floor than we've seen from him the last 2 years, where it's been really high upside, but kind of a low floor where he kind of hurts you every now and then.
And I think that's a really like great point about being a safer option for sure, because you know Jamal Williams now, I think with A.J. Dillon, who isn't the most profound, you know, pass catching back here, he's going to see work though. Don't don't discount AJ Dillon this season. He's going to see work in this offense here. It's not going to be Aaron Jones seeing 300 plus carries. It's him seeing similar to what he saw this past season, but he's going to probably see, like Kyle said, like more work in the passing game here. And as long as he can stay healthy, there has been games where he ends up missing a game here and there at times, but he might see less touchdowns possibly. That's my only thing that I'm concerned about, is that you have this big 240-pound A.J. Dillon. Why would you, if you get a goal line, why would you not throw him in there for a goal line rush now that he's been in the league for a year? I mean, you saw this man. He is a big man. That's my only concern. But I think in terms of a safe floor, I think you're pretty happy with a guy like Aaron Jones in that late round one option right now.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see here. We're going to move on. No, we're going to stay in this. We're going to do one more in this territory here. And, you know, Kyle, you mentioned Austin Eckler as a really great pass-catching back here this season here now. And then he had injuries last year, kind of ruined it a little bit. But hopefully he can stay healthy now. What is your expectation for a guy like Austin Eckler this season? Is it top five possibility, or is it more of a low-end RB1?
In full PPR leagues, I definitely can see a top five possibility. In half point, I think you're still in that top 10 range. I am more than happy to take him. There's possibilities for you to take him as your running back too. I think his ADP is currently in like the early second. Every now and then he kind of sneaks into that late first, but usually Adams, Hill, and Kelsey kind of push his ADP down a little bit. But you look at the stats, he was 13.8 points per game in half point PPR, which isn't fantastic, but you have to look at a whole of what we've seen. So in weeks 12 through 17, he was the RB8 overall and RB13 in points per game. They drafted Rashawn Slater for tackle. They signed Lindsey. They brought in Bulaga. They have bolstered this offensive line, and they have a new head coach, which I think is going to want to control the ball a little bit more. He's a defensive former defense coordinator from the Rams. This Chargers defense, I think, is severely underrated. They've been going through a lot of injuries with Bosa and Derwin James last couple of years. If they can solidify that defense, I think you could see Eckler still be close to a 60, 70, 80 targets on the season, but get a ton more carries, more like Aaron Jones, where he starts to see 200, 220 carries on the ground. And I think you're going to have a more complete back. The real question is can he stay healthy? He did the year prior. This year, I think it was just kind of a fluke. He did end the season strong, so we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point about the injuries there. Jibs, I know you're a decent Austin Eckler fan there, so
huge
fan of Austin Eckler. So you're a big believer that he's a true RB1 in this league.
Yeah, but you know, like he's kind of slight too. So I think like it's kind of baked in, like his ADP and where he stands is where he should justify that. But I think like this guy's limited. Right? We believe Justin Herbert. I'm a guy who believes in Justin Herbert. So I think he could probably have an elevated role in the offense. We saw, like Kyle mentioned before, like from when he came back weeks 12 to 17, he was like number 7 in total touches for running backs for the rest of the season. So that's utility that you want. Like I know like he doesn't make his due like in the rushing game as much, but man, those points catch up in like half PPR and PPR league specifically. So I'm all about the guy. Like I think like just the volume alone will kind of just help make him have a great season.
I want to add to that real quick before we move on, that we saw a lot of, I think, Herbert in the beginning of the season whenever Austin Eckler was out, and we saw Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly, and I can't even remember the former Dolphins running back that they brought in for a couple of games as well. Yeah, but like they couldn't figure out that running game without Eckler. And he was running a lot more earlier in the season as far as rush attempts. And towards the end of the season, that week 12 through 17, they significantly dropped off when Eckler came in, and Eckler averaged 8 targets per game over that span. So it's not he's utilizing the running back a lot like Phillip Rivers did, which is very great to see for his potential.
And I think there's a ton of potential with Austin Eckler, especially with the new OC coming into town who, you know, worked with the Saints back in the day, Joe Lombardi, with a guy like Alvin Kamara. So if they can kind of mold him into that to some extent, that'd be great, because my biggest issue with Austin Eckler is the red zone touches. Mm-hmm. He's had 53 in his career. I think Derrick Henry did that just last season. So that is my biggest issue with him. Is the touchdowns going to be there? I mean, yes, he's going to see probably close to 80 targets this season, at least. This is a great thing here. But to put him in that top five conversation, I think you need to have those touchdowns as well. So I think if you're thinking him as a top five guy, you might be disappointed to some extent because I don't know if he's going to get the touchdowns because they're going to use another running back. They're going to. They're not going to give Austin Ekeler 250 carries out of nowhere after he's never done that in his four seasons now in the NFL. He's done it in college, but he hasn't done it in the last 4 years now. So there's going to be someone else involved in this offense. I don't know. Maybe it's Justin Jackson. Maybe it's Larry Roundtree.
No, they're going to be Roundtree in the red zone. Yeah.
I hope it's Roundtree, for God's sake. I hope it's him. But it's going to be somebody else in this offense here, and I think you're safe with him. Just don't – I think a lot of people has an expectation about him being a top five back, which I just don't see happening the way he's using this offense outside of, you know, the passing game. And that's what kind of concerns me with him. But he can be an RB1 for sure. I prefer him in round two, but he's still a safe guy overall. So, all right. So now let's head over to the next tier here, and it's the high-end RB2 young guns. And these are the guys, you know, who are young besides Joe Mixon, but I had to throw Joe Mixon in this tier because in terms of ADP, he's high in this, and supposedly we'll talk about him at some point here. But let's talk with – who are we going to start with? Let's talk with Antonio Gibson. A surprise last season, absolutely. And, you know, there's lots of talk about him. People love Antonio Gibson this coming season here now. But how do you guys feel about Antonio Gibson? Do you feel he's going to reach that next level this year, or is it people begging too much out of him?
I'm a little skeptical, and that's only because he had 11 touchdowns in his 11 starts. You look at McKissick, who is still there and not going anywhere, had 110 targets last year, which is just insane to think about. I don't even know how he hit that number. Fitzpatrick normally doesn't throw to the running back as often, but he's probably never had a talented running back like Antonio Gibson. So Gibson's going to have to overcome some things from these outlier stats that he's had. He was the running back 12 overall. He was running back 15 in points per game. I think he has the opportunity, and I think he's talented enough. But he just has some super outlier stats, and he has some stats working against him. But I think he can still sneak into that top 12 range. But I don't see top five in the outcome, especially with the addition of Curtis Samuel. I just can't see it. Personally.
And apparently Adam Humphrey, who has been living Ryan Fitzpatrick in the 2 days of training camp. Don't listen to training camp stuff because it will drive you insane. But it's fun to listen to, that's for sure. But Jibs, I'll head it over to you. Antonio Gibson, you know, do you see him taking that next step this year?
What, to be like considered
an RB1, an actual RB1? Someone next year at this time want to be talking about in that Zeke and Barkley conversation.
No, I don't believe so.
No. Why?
Just to be honest, I just don't like the – like, he still has McKissick to deal with. Like, I know they're going to utilize him a lot more with, like, Curtis Samuel as well. So, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's obviously going to be more, like, passing-oriented. So, I don't think the Redskins is going to just overutilize the man. Like, his touches do vary game to game. So, like, I know he made a lot of his, like, heyday on the touchdown. So, I'm pretty skeptical if he's going to get to the same touchdowns as he did last year. He had games where he had multiple touchdowns. Like, you remember Thanksgiving game? Literally just, like, won people weeks.
Yeah.
So
won me a couple weeks, that's for sure. But yeah, I'm on the same boat to some extent with you guys. I don't believe he's going to jump into that, you know, that top tier RB just after one season here, but he has an opportunity because he is that talented. Now, if JD McKissick is involved in that offense, yeah, his value definitely drops in the receiving game. If they continue to throw the ball heavy, his touchdowns could drop for sure. So there's things against him, but he's a really talented back. And again, the first 12 weeks he was RB5, you know, he was rushing. And he was getting a lot of touchdowns. So that's a key contributor to that right there. It just depends on how this offense is going to want to run. You know, they brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for Antonio Gibson to that extent. Now, if Tyler Heinicke wins the job, that might change my outlook on Gibson because they might be more of that, let's play defense and run the ball and let Tyler Heinicke do something not to turn the ball over. You saw him in the playoffs last year. He did decent. So maybe he gets the job, but it's probably going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I think if you're looking at him as a mid to late round two pick, you're pretty okay on that part. Would I want to take him over some of the elite wide receivers? I don't know about that yet. But he has the talent, and you're taking a risk when it comes to Antonio Gibson because he could end up taking that next step, or he's going to be end up being just a probably low-end RB2. So it depends on what kind of risk you want to take for your team this year in fantasy. I think he's better off as a low end round two player, but he has that ability and talent and possibly opportunity, if with all things follow, to be an RB1 this year, without a doubt. All right, so let's stay in this tier here, and let's go to Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon is definitely a very controversial player right now. A lot of people either love Joe Mixon or they hate Joe Mixon. I don't think there's an in-between, really, with Joe Mixon. But, you know, back-to-back injury plague season last year, you know, he's had productions. He's been an RB1 before in fantasy. Does he still have it for him to be an RB1 in this technically like high power offense this year?
I feel so tired talking about Joe Mixon. I feel like I've been making excuses for him for like 5 years now, and I don't even know if he's been in the league that long. But he was figuring it out, right? Like I want to say, like, you know, he had that RB8 season in 2018. He disappointed last year as the running back 13 to finish the season because we had higher expectations. And to get around the start of the season with Joe Burrow, the offense kind of started a little slow. He was finally getting targets. He was pacing for 69 targets over the course of the 2020 season, which for a running backs, anyone that gets over 50 targets, I mean, that is a substantial tick to your PPR value. And so I think with the return of Jonah Williams, they drafted Carmen Jackson in the second round. I wish they would have taken Sewell, because I'm sure we'll talk about Swift later on. I think Sewell is just he reminds me of like Quentin Nelson. Like there's a couple linemen, like one lineman every single year where it's like either can't miss draft picks, and the Lions just got gifted like a future, potentially future all pro at pick overall 6, and they decided to go Jamar Chase. And I think if they would have went Sewell there, the potential for Joe Mixon would have been that much better. So I like the talent. We'll have to see how Joe Burrow performs. I think you're going to see a little more Joe Mixon in the early part of the season, especially after that new contract.
All right. Jibs, how do you feel about Joe Mixon?
I'm a junkie and I can't quit. I am going right back to my man Joe Mixon, even though he has let me down year after year after year. But I just have some hope and optimism this year. Like, I really wasn't a fan of him till last year. I jumped on the bandwagon. It hurt me. But from weeks 1 through 6, where he actually did play like a considerable amount, like he led the NFL running backs in touches per game, averaging 23 per game. So, like, I think it's optimism that without Gio Bernard being there, he could be utilized more in the receiving game. I know they have a plethora of running backs to kind of back him up, but I believe with a healthy season and some luck, obviously, you may be able to. It's a risky gamble. It's like going to a casino and putting everything on red, but I think Joe Mixon could probably win some leagues if everything plays out for you.
I think there was an ADP correction for him this year as well, because I think he was going – he was definitely a first-round pick last year.
Yeah, he was like 10.
Yeah, he was like around that 10 area. And just pulling up, I just pulled up the ADP from Fantasy Pros, which sometimes can be a little janky, like they have Patrick Mahomes at 17. But he's going in like the mid-second. And so if you go on the turn in the first round and you're able to get like Chubb and you come back in the second round and get Mixon, I am like all over that. Like I would love Mixon because I feel like you're not relying too much on him to carry your team, because I still think he can have some down weeks. But I love the potential because I think he has the opportunity that most running backs don't have.
If someone had a gun to my head and they said, you have to draft Joe Mixon as an RB2, okay. But I'd prefer not to. I'm on the other side of the train here. I think Joe Mixon is a product of just a lot of opportunity. And I don't think he's going to see that as frequent this year, this coming season here. You know, you talked about, you know, the receiving game getting better. And yes, you saw before he got injured, he started getting a lot of work in the offense there. But again, you also have to remember Joe Burrow was thrown to AJ Green and missing him 95% of the time last year. That's not going to happen as frequently. You bring in Jamar Chase, you know, they have a connection. T. Higgins and Joe Burrow have a connection. Tyler Boyd has a connection with Joe Burrow. You know, I don't see a situation where Joe Mixon is going to see as many targets week in and week out with, even without a guy like Gio Bernard there anymore. I think their wide receivers are going to all see probably close to 100 targets this coming season and be more consistent. That was the one issue last year, that they weren't consistent with their targets. Joe Burrow was kind of all over the place a little bit. I think he gets a little bit better in terms of, you know, his completion percentage this coming season here. And I don't see Joe Mixon running the ball 20 times a game. Like he was like 2 years ago, like when he had a bad first half of 2019 season, they were like, Joe, I think at one point, Joe was like, I'm about to drop Joe Mixon like week eight.
It was bad.
And then they bring in the rookie back then, whoever that rookie was. And he was getting 20 plus carries a week. And he was being more efficient that way. I just don't think he's efficient enough to see enough workload, for my opinion. And the injury, again, it was never really named exactly what the injury was. It was kind of like, oh, it's this, but it's also maybe it's also this too. So it's just like the unknown there. I'd rather just not touch Joe Mixon if I can. I'd rather go with someone that I know has more. He has upside, of course, but I'd rather go with someone I feel more comfortable going with that kind of upside than a guy like Joe Mixon right now. That's kind of how I feel about Mixon.
I think the frustrating part is you look at an offense like the Cowboys, right? And if you slot every single skill position player, you're like, they're pretty similar. Like, yeah, like the receiving core, both receiving cores are good. They both should have elite running backs. Their offensive line, the Cowboys, has like deteriorated over the course of a couple seasons, but we're not worried about Zeke, right? And so it's like, what is this play calling in Cincinnati that just can't get this talent to perform? And so I think this may be Zach Taylor's last season. We'll see. They held on to Marvin Lewis about 2 years too long, even though he probably overperformed with that Andy Dalton team. But yeah, I don't know. It's something's not clicking.
Everyone's talking about the Joe Brady reunion there next year, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh yeah! Oh my God,
that'd be great.
All right, here. So let's see. Do I want to stay in this tier?
You pretty much smash on. You hate Dobbins and you like CEH. So we.
I like got those. I like Dobbins, but we'll go to the next tier because there's a lot of people here to talk about still. In the last year, we haven't really talked about it at all this coming season. So. You know, Kyle, you mentioned DeAndre Swift, so I'll let you talk about DeAndre Swift. You know, you expect a breakout season for him this year, or is it not to that standard?
I think his ADP is where he needs to go. Like, he's one of those players where it's like there's too much variables for him to not be good, but I understand the talent and the elite offensive line that I project for this Lions team to have. I just think they're going to be trash. Like, I think the over-under for them is like 4.5, 5.5 wins on the season. So they're not going to win a ton of games. I think Swift has an opportunity to see a hefty target share, but there's this guy named Jamal Williams that's been annoying us with Aaron Jones the last couple of years, and I'm just afraid that he's going to do the same thing. So he's another situation of like he had only 4 games over 80-plus yards last year, total yards, but he had 10 touchdowns. So he did it with the touchdowns. And that was with Matthew Stafford. And that was with Kenny Golladay. And so I think he's going to get a few more opportunities to prove himself this year. And he was my favorite running back out of this class with Jonathan Taylor. It was Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift before their draft picks came through. I just don't know if I trust this offense because it is Anthony Lynn. And so he did provide some opportunities for Austin Eckler. But I don't know if there's going to be the efficiency with Jared Goff at quarterback.
Jibs, how do you feel about DeAndre Swift?
I'm kind of iffy on him. I think he like could have some upside with like the lack of receiving weapons outside. I mean, I know they have Amon-Ra and they have Williams and all that stuff, but I think he could make some hay in the passing game. But obviously, they're going to have to throw to stay in the game. So I think that's where he's going to make his payday and like garbage time. So there's benefit there, but I don't think he's going to be like a glorified rusher this upcoming year either. So just kind of some risks involved in there. But like, if you're willing to take that shot, like I think he could send your team to the moon.
He has a lot of boom or bust potential to his game this coming season because you saw last year that they used the running backs heavily in the red zone. I mean, I think all AP, Kerryon Johnson, and DeAndre Swift all had like at least combined like 12, 13 touchdowns last year. So there's that opportunity that they want to run the ball. Again, different offense, I know, but again, Anthony Lynn is a big running back guy. You know, Dan Campbell comes from a situation where they used a guy like Alvin Kamara heavily in the passing game. So again, there's an opportunity. We saw Jared Goff, you know, when he had Todd Gurley, they threw the ball to the running back. I mean, over the last couple seasons, not so much. But again, this offense, it doesn't have Matthew Stafford. How are they going to get the ball downfield as much? You know, like this is a different kind of quarterback now. So it's concerning that are they going to see enough workload in terms of scoring? Probably not. This is a bad offense, bad defense. This is probably going to be a bad team this year. They'd probably be in line for a top two pick this year. So I just don't see many opportunities where DeAndre Swift sees a lot of great games. I think his best ceiling this year is probably RB15. And I think that's what you're getting from him this year. He's going to have a couple of really great games, and he's going to have some decent games. But he's not going to do what you expect him to do if you draft him in the first two rounds, because I think that's not what his ceiling is this year. Maybe 2022, that's a different story. But this year alone, with the way this offense is built, I kind of want to stay away from a guy like Swift if I can. All right, yeah. So who else are we going to talk about in this tier? We've talked about Montgomery more than enough, I think. We talked about Sanders Jibs a lot?
Kind of.
All right, let's talk about Miles Sanders.
Yeah.
Let's stick with Miles Sanders here, who, you know, obviously disappointed last year after a really strong second half of the rookie season. But he's got Jalen Hurts, who, again, he started coming around again at the end of the season to kind of do somewhat decent. But are you guys a Miles Sanders believer? Do you believe he can still be that, what people said when he was coming out of college, the second coming of a great Saquon Barkley to some extent there? Do you believe he still has that ability to be an RB1 in fantasy, or is it just a kind of – it's not there anymore for him?
I kind of view him the way that I view J.K. Dobbins, and I'm kind of coming around on Miles Sanders because I – like you with Joe Mixon, like he burned me so bad last year because I was like, look, the talent is there. I like the offense, and none of it clicked. But I'm coming around to the idea of you look at weeks – lost my notes here – weeks 14 through 16 when Hurts was the starting quarterback, and Sanders didn't play week 17. He – was the running back 6 overall during that span, and he was the running back 7 in points per game, and he averaged 17.8 points per game. I think it's going to be an efficient offense because I see the potential, right? Like you see it with J.K. Dobbins the way you see it with Miles Sanders, that they may not finish – I don't think top 8 is really in their range of outcomes. But like 12 to 15 as solid RB2s for your team, I can totally see it. I can see him being a hyper-efficient running back on the ground. Jalen Hurts targeted the running back position a lot more than Lamar does. And so I could see him still creeping up to that 45 target mark. And I'm not concerned with Jordan Howard. I saw a report today that Boston Scott was like the running back 2, and he had the opportunity last year and didn't do anything with it. So I'm coming around to the idea that Sanders may be a value at his current ADP. And when he's coming off around running back 20, 22, I'm totally okay with that.
All right, I like that. Eagles fan, how do we feel about your boy Sanders?
I'm not shying away from him. I definitely liked his output when Jalen Hurts was on the field. And he's still, even throughout the season before he got hurt, and I know he was nagged up at the start of the season, and then when he came back, the guy still had pretty much a decent, like, opportunity with, like, a bunch of touches. And, like, I know, like, he had more receptions early on, and then he more – became like a running back in like 15, 16 attempts right there. So I think like there's nothing to shy away from. I don't think the Eagles are going to be doing anything. I think they're going to be better than the Lions. So like there's going to be opportunity with Hurts there, and there's definitely going to be a lot of like red zone opportunity for him, because I don't think the other running backs there currently really pose a threat. So maybe he gets a little bit of third down work siphoned away with Boston Scott or Gainwell, but I still think like he's still going to be the man on the field when the time's right.
No, I like that. I think hearing about Boston Scott being that RB2 on the team currently right now definitely gives hope for guys that are already behind him, in terms of they're not obviously passing Boston Scott, who is, he's just an average running back. He's got a good passing ability to him, but he's just an average running back. He's nothing special per se. So you have to assume that Miles Sanders has this role pretty locked up, and I think he's going to see at least 125 carries this coming season here, as long as he can stay healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a team that was just in shambles last year on injuries last year. The O-line was just destroyed. The wide receiver core was, I mean, basically throwing me out there, and that was basically the same thing. And you have Jalen Hurts now, who when he was on the field with Jalen Hurts, Miles Sanders was an RB9, and he was getting double-digit carries. I mean – he might not see the receiving work that he once saw his rookie season. I think it's smart enough to understand that's probably not going to be his biggest production form, but he's going to see good running ability. He's going to probably get great yards, and he's going to have ability to break ones long. and get touchdowns this coming season. Again, this team is decent. They're not the best team and not the worst team. People are shitting on the Eagles. I mean, I think they can be a pretty decent team this year. And I think it involves running the ball. And you see them trying to bring in more running backs to bring in competition. But I think Miles Sanders is going to be the guy this year. And in the third round, at pick ADP 30 right now, I think you could be pretty happy. If you were to go, you know, tight end to wide receiver heavy the first two rounds and you get Miles Sanders in round three, I'd be okay with that because I think he can put up a decent production for you. He might not be able to get you that RB1 stature, but when Kyle said about maybe RB11, RB12, I'm okay with that this coming season. Mm-hmm. I can live with that kind of life. I'm getting an elite wide receiver core early.
Yeah, I'm in that belly up sports. They're doing that big best ball tournament that they do every single year. And I went zero running back for a long time. And I didn't take a running back till the sixth round. And I took Miles Sanders. And I was like,
ooh,
I'm okay with this. It was a super flex league, tied in premium. Like, I'm okay if I go to a situation like that where I took A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, and Godwin in two quarterbacks. I'm 100% okay with Miles Sanders in that situation.
I like that as well. I love that. I love that. All right. So we're leaving the RB2, middle RB2s, and heading to the low-end RB2s. This is ends up the top 24 currently right now in terms of ADP, and it's these last three. Again, none of these guys we've really talked about too much, to be honest here. And I think one guy, I think we mentioned Gaston a couple times this coming offseason here and his ability and them possibly replacing him, but we've talked about him enough. But Kareem Hunt, I don't think we've talked about him almost at all this coming offseason here. You know, he had opportunity to shine, didn't really perform to that standard. But again, he still ended up as an RB1 last year in terms of fantasy. And he shares the backup role to Nick Chubb. How do you feel about Kareem Hunt this year? Do you trust him as a RB2 for you this season?
I think he's a little bit of fool's gold at this point. Because I really wanted to, like, look, I had Kareem Hunt on some teams. And it was like, yes, Nick Chubb is out. Let's do this thing. He's going to win me some weeks. I'm going to, you know, just coast to the playoffs and I'll be fine. And you look at how he got his points. He got it very efficiently the first like 4 or 5 weeks where he had like, I think it was like 15 carries, 110 yards and a touchdown. The way that he came about these opportunities is the Browns were up, surprisingly, in the fourth quarter. They decided to bench Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt just played the entire fourth quarter because there was plenty of times last year. If you look at his game logs for the first three quarters to the fourth quarter, he dominated fourth quarters. And it was like, do you want to rely on that as your running back? Like, you really want to sit through, it's 2:30 central time on a Sunday morning and Kareem Hunt's got you 2 points. And then you blink for 3 seconds and it's like, oh, there he goes. There's 12 points. Now I'm happy. Like, being at running back 22, I think is just too high. Now there is the opportunity that he takes over the Chubb role and performs better. But I just don't see it. I mean, those weeks 5 through 8, he was the running back 10 without Chubb. And so I can't see how he somehow improves over his running back 10 finish this year. And you're paying, I mean, you're paying a decent price. I think he's, what, 5th round ADP or something like that, maybe 6th round. I think I would just rather take another running back early and just start hitting those mid-round wide receivers at that point.
He's in currently ADP round 5 right now. So. Jibs, how do you feel about Kareem Hunt? You were a little team you were agreeing with Kyle there.
I was like last year when he was kind of like he got when Nick Chubb got hurt and he was kind of just producing points early on. I just tried to flip him as fast as I can, but
I did as well.
Honestly, like with Kareem Hunt, like I agree with Kyle. He was a ghost show some weeks. It's nothing. And that kind of scares me, especially where you're picking him right there. You could get quality receivers at that point. I'm more oriented to like that way, and you probably could take some shots. Like, I think, honestly, I wouldn't want him as my RB2, but if he was like my flex on my team and I wanted a running back flex, hey, I think that's a perfect opportunity right there for you. But I think it's going to be hard for him to repeat what he did last year. There was a lot of top-tier running backs that were hurt last year, a la Gibson's high start, finish, and stuff like that. So there's a lot of variables to play in. Nick Chubb's going to be healthy. I think he's more going to be a low-end running back too, but you never know. He's the most elite handcuff you probably could get because he's going to have some standalone value, albeit you never know what you're going to get, especially with a touchdown.
And he had 5 touchdowns those first 4 weeks. I'm looking at his stats right here. Like that, those touchdowns easily could have been Nick Chubb. And I'm not discrediting, like, you earn those touchdowns. Like, I'm not taking those away from you. But touchdowns are not a sticky stat. There's too many variables in that where you take away those touchdowns, you know, take away 2 of those touchdowns and he's disappointing you, you know, 2 of those 4 weeks that you had to, if you decided to start him. But as a flex play, I'm with you right there. Like that's fine.
I can live with Kareem Hunt as my RB2, but I don't like him in round two. If I got him in end of round six, beginning of round seven, again, highly unlikely. I'd prefer that better with him. When it comes to Kareem Hunt, I think Nick Chubb is completely, no questions asked, the better runner overall. He may not be the better dual threat. He might be a better dual threat than Kareem Hunt, but overall, Nick Chubb is going to see the groundwork. And I think when you look at Kareem Hunt, he's going to see opportunity, and he's going to see fantasy points, at least for you. They're not going to be big a lot of weeks, but they're going to be, kind of like Kyle said, he's going to get maybe like 10 fantasy points for you. So if you're happy with that as your RB2, then go get it, because there have his opportunities where he's going to see a 20 fantasy point game here and there. Absolutely. And there's always that opportunity where if Nick Chubb gets hurt, Kareem Hunt's in. Absolutely. But if you look at it down the stretch, especially in the playoffs, and I looked at the playoffs, I wanted to see what the split was in the playoffs, because that kind of tells you how they value their players, and they're going to play their best players in the playoffs. And they were in some big games against the Steelers and the Chiefs. Kareem Hunt had 16 total touches in the playoffs. Nick Chubb had 39. Yeah. That's a big difference. That's almost double. So you're looking at Kareem Hunt as a guy who is going to see either passing work late in games, or he's going to see rushing work late in games because there'll be ahead in games. So you have to assume that he's going to have like 2 points, like Kyle said, in the early part, and then he might end up with 10 at the end of the day. Better have that upside. So it depends on if you want to reach for that in the fifth round. I'm not about it. If round seven is where he goes, I'm happily okay to take Kareem Hunt as my RB2 if that's the case. But in early round five, where his ADP currently is going, I don't want it. And I think he finishes, his ceiling is, I think at this season, is somewhere in this mid RB2, low end RB2 if he gets to that. All right. And then let's talk about one last player here. And it's a guy who was definitely the biggest shocker in fantasy last year, and James Robinson, who sits right now at ADP RB23 right now. And we all know Travis Etienne is here, who we'll talk about on a future show for sure. But he had a great season, though he had basically the whole workload to himself here now. But can James Robinson still get these possible RB2 numbers this coming season, or are you guys completely just turned off by the fact that James Robinson now has a lot of competition?
I think in your home leagues, Robinson is not going to go in the top 24. I think he will fall a little bit further down to where he almost becomes enticing to take. But we can talk about it. I feel like we've talked about it a lot just in general, that he got like 90% of like the running back work last year. He got almost all the carries. Chris Thompson was like supposed to be this thing, and then he got hurt, and so he got all the targets. He has 60 targets, which I had no idea to looking at his stats earlier. Like, that is just something like I was like, wow, that's actually a lot of passing work for a guy, which is easily going to be Travis Etienne's work because they were working him out at wide receiver. So I'm out, but I think eventually he's going to fall to a certain point in August, early September, where it's like, okay, yeah, as my RB4 in like the eighth, ninth round, I could see him falling that far, because I think people are going to be scared of Travis Etienne and they're not going to want to draft a Jaguars running back.
I like that. I like that a lot there. Jibs, do you believe in the magic or no?
I don't believe in the magic. I think he's definitely going to be losing a lot of touches. You know me, Steve, I'm definitely a big proponent of volume. So if he loses volume, I'm going to be less susceptible to take him, but I still believe that he will have a role in the offense, like maybe a two down role. I don't think he's gonna just be on the downs. He could be on the field on third downs. Maybe they do flex Etienne out wide as a wide out and allow both of them to be on the field certain plays, but still, there's a lot of pieces on that offense, and without him making that do in the receiving game, I think it's kind of going to be like a far shot for him to be within even like the top 15, in my opinion. But hey, like, just to have a sturdy guy on your team who's going to get you some rushing duties, hey, why not? But I don't really like, I'm not going out of my way to get him.
Yeah. I would almost rather wait on a guy like Gus Edwards. I think at that point, like, if you're needing a running back like that, I'd rather just wait a couple rounds. No one's going to draft Gus Edwards.
Yeah. I think he's Gus Edwards with maybe a slight better catching receiving ability to his game, not to his game, but in terms of the offense that he's in there. I think they're similar players. I probably want to have Gus Edwards because you know that his role is pretty much secure. You've seen the Ravens over the last few seasons. You don't know what James Robinson's role is currently right now and how he's going to be used. Again, is he an RB2? No, he's not an RB2 right now. He's an RB3 right now. He's an RB3 where he has that upside to be an RB2 if they use him in the right situations. And again, if Kyle said if he falls, he becomes a value. And I think he's worth taking a shot on because he was efficient last year and he got better as the season went on. He got a lot of opportunity, especially in the receiving game early on. But later in the season, it was his rushing game that kind of kept him alive. Yes, he had like 5 targets a game, which was great. But he ended up running the ball a little bit better in the second half of the season when the quarterback situation was flopping all around. Hopefully that this offense is going to stay somewhat competitive with a guy like Trevor Lawrence there on this offense now. I think you can be pretty safe to say if, as an RB3, RB4 with a guy like James Robinson this year, I think you should be pretty happy because I think he's going to give you somewhat of a boom or bust RB3, RB4 right now in terms of fantasy because he could end up having like a 5-point game. We could end up having a 20-point game. It's just the way he's going to be used. And I think if you take him right now as an RB2, you'll be mistaken. And if you take him as an RB3 thinking you're having a safe floor with him, again, you're going to be mistaken because I think he is just more of that boom or bust RB3 right now who I'd be willing to take if you're looking for that kind of risk-reward factor in terms of your fantasy team this year. All right, so I think we're going to wrap things up there, guys. That was the top RB2 part one series here. We're going to have another series later on in August about the RB3s, the handcuffs, the RB4s and 5s, Jim's favorite players to talk about. we're going to wrap things up today here. Kyle, we thank you so much, man, for jumping on today's show. This is a blast getting to talk to you because I know we're in a fantasy league together now, so it's nice to put a face to the name there. So we do appreciate you jumping on for today.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I always enjoy talking fantasy with people.
Love it, love it. And let everyone know they can find you again on social media and if you ever want anything you want to say about your guys' network.
Yeah, it's at Fantasy Reserve. You guys more than welcome to give a follow. I'm always here to answer questions. And the at Gridiron Ratings team is where you can find our stuff at.
Awesome, awesome. So, guys, if you're not already following him, please give him a follow. Kyle, you were a fantastic guest on today. You really know your shit. So we always love that. So
appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So before we really get going, guys, just wanted to let some know things that are going on this month in August. We're going back to our two-a-days now. I mean, Jibs, every Monday and Wednesday for the month of August. We're going to be podcasting twice a week. We're going to have a lot of cool shows still to go through. Our charity with the Humane Society is in full gear now. We have our two teams set. It's going to be a lot of fun here. Those are going to start drafting on August 18th, where on August 18th, we're going to have our Fantasy Coaches Humane Society Podathon, where we're going to be talking a whole bunch of fantasy with a whole bunch of people in the industry here as our two fantasy drafts kind of kick underway. And again, there's a lot of cool things coming down the pipeline for fantasy coaches, and if you can continue to follow them, check out our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. And again, we're going to be announcing it on Twitter more than likely, and you can do that. You can follow our coaches podcast, our Coaches Fantasy. If you ever want to hit up me or Jibs, you can hit up us on Coach Stephen P.
Sorry, Hot Take Honcho on Twitter.
Jibs had a yawn first before he said his thing. But yeah, so guys, give us a follow. Follow everyone here. Follow Kyle. And we appreciate you guys for listening in, staying on our stream tonight with us, and tune in till next time where we talk draft strategies, and we'll see you then, guys. So have a great one. The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of clock hands. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act into acting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. I listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowin' that, blowin' that, blowin' that, go.